Okay, well, I will confirm that to you about the wilderness. I was got 3 hours of sleep last night, but I prayed many hours in the spirit and really had no conclusion till this morning when I sat down. And usually before church, when I get up, it's very peaceful. And I heard the Lord say, "You're in that wilderness experience where Jesus was before I launched him out into his ministry. And this is where you are." Because I didn't know, when you're in a situation, how are you going to know how to handle the situation if you don't ask the Lord, "What is this about?" Because if you're not informed, then you'll just start a spouting off stuff and doing stuff, and we're acting in your flesh. And so that's what the Lord said to me. And so I just wanted to say that's kind of exactly what he had to say. So anyway. Okay, this is Sunday morning, 4/28/24. We're going to start off first. We're going to have a prophet's corner and a teaching, another prophet's corner and a teaching. This one is called The State of the Church. Sunday morning, 4/28/24. All right. I first titled this A Tale of Two Churches, but I'm thinking, no, that's not really correct. So, anyway. One side of the church has succumbed to doctrines of men, the other side to New Age practices. And what I mean by New Age is what has entered or brought the alien theme on the scene. It's all the same, it's all from the same dimension, right? All right, this is the condition of the church and what they see today. There's many today that call themselves truthers that they're just spouting a bunch of crap. It is, just say it what it is. It's crap. It's doctrines of demons. It's fables, old wives' tales, whatever you want to call it. And so that's kind of what I want to teach on today. It's mainly comprised of so-called. But the Lord says they've been weighed and they've been measured and they have become wanting. Both sides. Both sides. All right, Romans 6:17. Now I beseech thee, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Someone that I think highly of as far as the Nasera Jesera. I believe he brings a real even, peaceful balance to the movement. On the other side, doesn't even believe it's the end times because it's the deep state just made it all up because there is no beast. And I'm thinking, what world have you been living in? And this is someone that thinks they are a Bible scholar and will just talk you to the ground. And I'm thinking, dumb. Done. All right. The two sides hold different views, but both are blind. This is Matthew 15:14. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. This is the truth. This is the truth. You can listen to anybody. Now, I do agree. Everyone has their opinion and they're entitled to that opinion. And there'll be people that you agree with them on this one thing, but you can't listen to anything else. Isn't that the way it is? Usually. All right. Matthew 7. We'll turn to that one. I was talking this morning on the television broadcast about people, when you're called of God, that God trains you. You're not daddy called, preacher called, or any other kind of called, other than Holy Ghost called, and then you're Holy Ghost trained. And I kind of went into stuff about how I suffered for years because I didn't understand that principle. Didn't realize that's what this wilderness, we've been in training. God's training. And he has specifically got, like Danny had said earlier, a plan laid out for you, just tailored fit for you. You know what? I don't have anything against seminaries or cemeteries, whatever you want to call them, if God leads you there, but it's like one size fits all there. How could that be? All right. Matthew 7:13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. It says, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire, Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon rock. The rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Either they're walking by the Spirit or they are not. It's really pretty cut and dried. It's black and white. It's not all this gray. It's black and white. Either you on it or you off it. That's it. Think about that when you listen to some of these people. All right. Genesis 3. This is going to be verse 4 and 5 here. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. God had said, if you touch the tree, not touch, but right here, eat of it. I guess you'd have to touch it to eat of it. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, verse 3, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Well, that's what she said, but I guess you would have to touch it to eat it, right? For God doth know. All right, the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. In other words, what's happened with this movement? All this weirdness has come on the scene. We've got the aliens involved now. And we've got the ascended masters. And we've got, you know, these Christians coming out with the ascended masters. Well, the ascended masters are on the other side of the ethereal plane, which is, that's what the witches and the demonics, they people that worship Satan, that's how they get into those dimensions, that's how they open those portals, is they go through that avenue, and there's no way to get there unless you do that. The space program, NASA, they ran into that when all this stuff started happening way back. And some of them had a conscience that says, God has told us we cannot do that. We cannot, because they had to do blood sacrifice. So that's the thing right there. For these people to be spouting the stuff and seeing the stuff they're seeing and seeing these other planets and seeing all these things they're seeing in aliens, they have to have had gone, passed through the ethereal plane, astro projection. Oh, but it's okay. Tarot card readers are okay. You can have your fortune read. It's okay. They've lied to us. Right here. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open. You know the third eye? They talk about the third eye. You know, you need to get your third eye open. What's that mean? That That means witchcraft. That means demonic. That's what it means. And ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Isn't that what the truthers are doing? The ones I've listened to, they know so much more than us. We're Neanderthals because we believe what the Word says. Well, that ain't no good. All this added stuff. That's what's going on. And I'd say more in that camp than they are in the right camp. That's the truth. Sad. I pray for these people. God, show them where they've been deceived, and they seem like, some of them seem like the nicest people and love God so much, use the name of Jesus, even pray in tongues. And they are in this mess. Well, the Bible's no good. You know, all, you know, God is the God of everything, of the Muslim, of the Hindu, of this and that. No, they worship demons. They don't have a Savior that gave His life and His blood. How can you say that as a spirit-filled, tongue-talking Christian? How can you say that? You've been deceived. I'm telling you, it's rampant. Through the truth or... What truth are we looking at? This one here. Well, God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open. That third eye is open. There's a portal from the demon of hell to come in and fill your mind right there. And you shall be as gods. Well, you know, you never die. And you're as gods. Isn't that what they're saying? Pretty well. Some of them actually have said that. Well, you're never going to die anyway. People that were born again and had a, you know, they didn't have a lot of understanding, but they're just regular Christians, and now they're saying this crap. It's deadly. It's how Satan has deceived. All right, let's get going. We must stay on the straight and narrow path that leads to life. We're on the broad path, there is enlightenment. That third eye is open. You know what that third eye, the yoga, and all the that statue that's got the third eye up here? You know what I'm saying? It's all from hell. All of it's from hell. All right? Like New Age practices and just going and doing your own thing and being locked into church dogma. We got two camps here. But Jesus is saying, There, follow me. Down the middle of the road. Okay, Matthew 13. I'm not telling y'all anything you don't know, but the Lord brings it up, and so I bring it again. And two, some listen to these broadcasts later. All right, this is Matthew 13, 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? I brought this up before, but I'll bring it up again. Demi Lovato, which was American Idol judge, has a beautiful voice. She started out a young Christian girl, not a spiritful Christian girl, but she thought the greatest thing in her life was to go to Israel and be baptized in the Jordan. And she said, this woman prophesied. She called it prophesied over me. I'm thinking it's prophesied. Anyway, prophesied over her that she would reach many through her arts. In other words, her singing voice. Well, here, 2 years after she has this experience, she's channeling aliens. And spaceships show up right there. Why? That's that realm that they're stepping into. And she's gotten other people. One of her friends said, yes, I told my family for Christmas. All I wanted for Christmas was us all get together and channel aliens. They're channeling demons. You can call them whatever you want, Valiant, Thor, whatever. It's all demons. They appear as angels of light. Oh, we're here to help you. Your world's in trouble. It's going to be hit by an asteroid and explode, and we are here, these five different Palladias, one of them. We're here to help you. They're working with our astronauts and NASA and all of this underground and the underground dives. But don't you dare say the name of Jesus. Not even if you've stumped your toe, as it brings them great pain. But they're beautiful. Some of them are 10 foot tall, blonde hair, blue eyes. Just very beautiful. Angel of light. I'm telling you, people are following after this like a deer after water. Oh, the church. See, the church didn't have its stuff together. So they could be, now they are deceived. Well, they've lied to us about everything. Well, they have, but God hasn't. He's not lied to us about anything. He's still the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he never changes. And he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at the end of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather their wheat into my barn. For someone to say that this is not the time, we're not at the end time. The end time is the Gog and Magog war. But we are at the time where the kingdom of God is going to be issued in, a new kingdom. His reign on earth that he promised. A lot of people don't see that either. I'm thinking, how from Scripture could you not see it? Okay, now go with me to Daniel chapter 5. I know this is kind of different today, but you know what? I have to follow the Spirit. I don't bring what I want. I bring what He wants. And He knows what we need. He doesn't know who we might meet next week that we need to maybe be open to share some of this stuff. All right, verse 1. Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Belshazzar, whilst he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the gold and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines drank in them. Now these are the holy vessels that come out of the temple. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the pilaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed and his thoughts troubled him so that the joints of his loins were loosed and his knees smote one against another. So he's calling for the astrologers to come in and give him the answer. Well, it comes about that they tell him about Daniel, because Daniel was the one that spoke into the king, his father's life, Nebuchadnezzar. All right, verse 13. Then was Daniel brought in before the king, and the king spake and said unto Daniel, art thou that Daniel which art of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Jewry? I have even heard of thee that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and the excellent wisdom is found in thee. And now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me that they should read this writing and make known unto me the interpretation thereof, but they could not show the interpretation of the thing. And I heard of thee that thou canst make interpretations and dissolve doubts. Now if thou canst read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about thy neck, and shall be in the third, be the third ruler in the kingdom. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, let thy gifts be to thyself, and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king, and make known to him the interpretation. O thou king, the most high God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him, whom he would he slew, and whom he would be kept alive, whom he would he set up, and whom he would he put down. But when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride, he was disposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. All right, he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beast, and his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointed over it whomsoever he will. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart enough. Thine heart, though thou knowest all this, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords, thy wives, thy concubines have drunk wine in them. Thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know. And the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified? Then was the part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written. And this is the writing that was written, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. This is the interpretation of this, Mene. God has numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Perez, this kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet, put a chain of gold about his neck, and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain, and Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. All right, go over to Revelation chapter 11. Verse 1. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod. And the angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar, them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple, leave out and measure it not, for it's given to the Gentiles, and the holy city shall be tread under foot 42 months, and I will give power to my two witnesses, and they shall have power 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and two candlesticks standing before the God of all the earth. You can go read that in Zechariah chapter 4, verses 2 through 6. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this matter be killed. These have the power to shut up heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. You know, in the time of John the Baptist, they thought that it was Elijah. But he came what? In the spirit of Elijah. And I believe that we're dealing with a spirit of Elijah in this instance, not Elijah himself. And we won't go into all of that. I've taught on that before. But anyway, right here, these two witnesses, Moses and Elijah, more than likely represent the word and the power of the Spirit. Because one called down fire from heaven. They lay dead in the street 3 days, and then they are resurrected, a symbol of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. All right. Then the kingdoms of this world, right here, 15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there was great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. All right. Is that where we're sitting in history? I believe with all of my heart, this is where we sit. The kingdoms of this world are becoming the kingdoms of our God. Ought to go, I challenge you to go read I'm going to read one today. The Lord quickened to me this morning, and I got my folder out and brought one of them up here about a particular area, the Mark Taylor prophecies. He started having these prophecies back in 2011. It tells you everything. It really does. Tells you about the commander-in-chief. All right, Revelation 12. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars, and she being with child cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns with his heads. We know this is the beast. His tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, third of the angels, this renegade. By the way, the beast is not a person. He comes out of the pit, it says. He rises up out of the pit. 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. Now he's got a lot of minions. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, did cast him to the earth. So a third of the angels fell with him. And they came right here. This is their objective. And did cast him to the earth. And this dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Here's the seed war we've looked at many times in Genesis chapter 3. And she brought forth a man child who was to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. Her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. The woman fled to the wilderness where she was, I won't even read that. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not, neither was there place found any more in heaven. So God cast this renegade out of heaven. The great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and the angels were cast out with him. I heard a voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength, the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to them, inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. Here are the ones that are his remnant. The dragon was wroth, 17. The dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So this is the war that's in process at this time. It may look like it's Ukraine and Russia and all of these things, but it really isn't. It's the devil against the church. All right. Verse 12 identifies the beast and the mark. Tell eye vision. It's pretty simple. This system has waged war against the church, and it looks like, from what I explained to you at first, that a lot of the churches succumbed to it. Why? Because the church didn't have goods. They didn't have it. They weren't following the Spirit. Like we know, where we fit in, the apostolic teams, we're not in place. The prophets were not relaying messages, bringing the blueprints so the church could move forward as one and overcome the enemy. All right, 14. We see God's remnant sealed. I'm not reading all these today because I've read them many times before. You can go read them for yourself. All right, chapter 15. This angel's talking about the 7 last plagues. It's not plagues that are coming against God's people. These are the plagues that are coming against the deep state. This is the deep state judgment. Now, I want to look at the corporation church. Let me read to you first. This is Mark Taylor purging the temple. This is 4:26-16. The Spirit of God says the 501c3, the 501c3, those that are eating of it are not eating from my tree. For when I told Adam and Eve, do not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for you shall surely see. So it is with those that eat from the 501c3. For this demonic document that you signed has now made you spiritually deaf, dumb, and blind. Woe to those who continue to use the demonic system, for you will be exposed and purged from this evil cistern. The Spirit of God says, can you not see that you're taking a bribe? They will say, it's all about the money, and for that you shall be kicked from my tribe. Taking a bite from that apple has taken you from a spiritual body to a brick and mortar, and has placed you under the new world order. For how can you be a part of my spiritual body when you have cut off my head? For those that do not turn will surely fall as dead. Tear up the contract, repent, divorce Baal, and remarry me, and I will remove the spiritual blindness so you can once again see. Come out of this before it's too late, for my judgments are on those systems that I hate. Come out now, for I will no longer tolerate. This is 2016, before anybody knew really anything. Like I said, most of his prophecy started back in 2011. And as far as I know, he's not had any new for many years. Ghost is just a series of them. He has a book out, has them all in it. But anyway, the Lord has had me specifically pull this one out. I was talking to somebody on the phone the other day about it. And I was telling them how the church had become politicized, had become a corporation. In that for 501c3, they're 501c3, so are we. I put it in there and I said, Lord, forgive me, I will not use this. I'll not use it for taxes or anything else. I refuse. And you know how God, I think, has taken care of that? They have us registered at a different address that we never lived at. We don't even exist. If they were tracking us down, they wouldn't find us where they have us listed as. And I ain't changing it. God's not playing around, is he? Not now, not ever. All right. Let's get into something else now. The real church. And who is not part of it. All right. Well, let me read these two scriptures first, then I'll get into this. I want to get them in order the way the Lord put it in order. So let's go to Matthew 15:9. Well, let's start with 7. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh to me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. All right, Mark 7:7. And I want you to, this is kind of one of my pet peeves here. If you read the rest of that, he's talking about the food thing. It's not what goes in the man that defiles him, it's what comes out of him. The thinking processes, that's in the context of this. So is the next one, Mark 7. That's just part of the polluting. All right, 7:7. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups and many other such things ye do. And it goes on about, Jesus is explaining to them about why he's getting on to them about all their ordinances and their practices. All right. A church that supports the Rothschild deep state Israel, those that say they are Jews and are not. This is a big thing in the church, along with many other things that are not right. Right here. This is the Balfour Declaration. And if someone comes to you and challenges you about this, you can say, look up the Balfour, it's Balfour Declaration, United Kingdom, 1917, the Heart of the Beast, the UK. On November 2nd, 1917, the state of British support for the establishment in Palestine of a national home for the Jewish people was made in a letter from author James Balfour, the British Foreign Secretary, to Lionel Walter Rothschild and Baron Rothschild of Tring, a leader of the Anglo-Jewish community. They are the Jews that say they are Jews and are not. Though the precise meaning of the correspondence has been disputed, its statements were generally contradictory both to the Sykes-Picot Agreement, a secret convention between Britain and France, and the Hussein-McMahon correspondence, an exchange of letters between the British High Commissioner in Egypt, Sir Henry McMahon, and Hussein Abba Ali, then Emir of Mecca, which in turn contradicted one another. It says, see Palestine, World War I and after. That's what all these riots on the campuses are going on in the United States, even in UT Austin. They're all for Palestine, and they're all rioting on the campuses. I believe they're all paid. Some are getting arrested. The Balfour Declaration, issued through the continued efforts of Chaim, Weizmann, and Nahum Sokolow, Zionist leaders, like Zionists. These are those that say they're Jews and are not. Leaders in London fell short of the expectations of the Zionists who had asked for the reconstitution of Palestine as the Jewish national home. The declaration specifically stipulated that nothing shall be done which may prejudice the civil and religious rights of existing non-Jewish communities in Palestine. The document, however, said nothing of the political or national rights of these communities and did not refer to them by name. Nevertheless, the declaration aroused enthusiastic hopes among Zionists and seemed the fulfillment of the aims of the World Zionist Organization. Seems to me Palestine are the originals. They're the ones that really have the rights, not the so-called Jews that say they are and are not. The British government hoped that the declaration would rally Jewish opinion, especially in the United States, to the side of the Allied powers against the Central powers. During World War I, that's 1914 and 1918, they hoped also that the settlement in Palestine of a pro-British Jewish population might help to protect. The approach is, now here we go, follow the money, honey, to the Suez Canal in neighboring Egypt, and thus ensure a vital communication route to British colonial possessions in India. It's all about the money, all of it. The Balfour Declaration was endorsed by the principal Allied powers and was included in the British Mandate over Palestine, formally approved by the newly created League of Nations. This was July 24, 1922. In May 1939, the British government altered its policy in a white paper recommending a limit of 75,000 further immigrants and the end of migration by 1944 unless the resident Palestinian Arabs of the region consented to further immigration. Zionists condemned the new policy, accusing Britain of favoring the Arabs. This point was made moot by the outbreak of World War II, 1939-1945, the founding of the State of Israel in 1948. I won't bore you with the rest of it. I'll stop there. So does this have anything to do with God? No. Rothschild operation. Deep state operation. There's more Jews that are probably real Jews in the United States than there are anywhere in the world. And if you look at that map, Texas is Egypt. If it's true. Who knows? Who knows? All right, let's keep going here. In 1871, the United States became a corporation under these Jews that really are not Jews. This is only one side of the church. Because we were brought up to believe, and even well-esteemed people that we esteem highly wrote written books, but you don't touch Israel. Who's Israel? Jew and Gentile, born-again Christians, there's the church. The other side is the New Age movement. This is 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter days some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Oh, I tried to get some information on it. I got a little bit of it. They're so far out there. I just couldn't hardly stand to even read it. They've got the church all messed up in it. Okay, I was thinking about the Tartarian Empire. They had all the advanced technologies, but in reading about what I did, I picked up not really much said about God. Some believe that's the 1,000-year reign of Christ, but I'm not convinced of that. They were destroyed, and the devil's cohorts hid their history from us. A society without God is a society with no future. If they were so great, and they were in the 1,000-year reign, why did they not call down fire from heaven, like it's going to happen after the Gog and Magog war? You can go read it for yourself. Gog and Magog. Fire comes down from heaven. Why? You've got a church that's in order, that know their power in God. They call down power from heaven, just like Elijah. Talk about the two witnesses. The Word of God in power. And it was squelched. All right. Our future is ahead, walking right down the middle of the road, a straight and narrow path, not going to one side or the other, and following the Holy Spirit. Being grounded in God's Word. This is the only way to success. I don't care who it is. This is the only way to success. God is putting His church in divine order. We must speak by the leadership of the Holy Spirit. His church is in divine order. The Lord's been having us do this for a long time now. And He keeps adding things to speak order to. We're speaking our government in order. What Danny had about, pray in an army of intercessors to pray in God's order so that He can raise up His government out of His order. We got a lot of work ahead of us. I'll just say that. All right. So we've got to speak that. As the Holy Spirit leads us, we have to begin to speak those things. Not just speaking to speak for speaking's sake, but led by the Spirit. When you do your confessions, the Holy Spirit begins to lead you. Let Him lead you. Document what He tells you. That's how these petitions have grown. All right, I'm going to look at the New Age a minute, and then we're going to look at something else. What is New Age movement? This is, I don't even know who this is, but anyway, it says, the expression New Age came into existence in the 70s and 80s. It was promoted, well, it cut it off. A lot of it came from Shirley MacLaine. She had an out-of-body experience and all that astral projection stuff, and she became a believer. And so that's when you started seeing on cable and stuff all these psychic channels and all that, so you could call in and get a reading and all this kind of stuff. New Age thinking has its roots in Eastern mysticism, which attempts to bypass the mind. See, that's where the third eye is. There is a new organ of perception, the third eye, which gives spiritual light. One needs to get to the physical shelf by training oneself to ignore messages from the mind or to see that the mind is actually achieving cosmic consciousness. The mind can create reality. Some people even think the word of faith is this. That's why I don't want to touch it. Neil Anderson, in his book Walking Through the Darkness, writes this: the New Age movement is not seen as a religion, but a new way to think and understand reality. Yes, devil's thinking. Hath God said? You won't surely die. You'll be as gods. It's very attractive to the natural man who has become disillusioned with organized religion and Western rationalism. He desires spiritual reality but doesn't want to give up materialism, deal with his moral problems, or come under authority. Anderson goes on to summarize New Age thinking. All right. And he goes into different sects of it, and I'm not going to do that. But it's everywhere. All right. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 37. I'm making sense today. Okay, I hope so. Sometimes I think, Lord. We'll start with verse 1 there. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and I prophesied. There was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. When I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man. Is he doing what we've been doing? Think about that. A church out of order. A church back in order. Prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Who's Israel? Behold, they say, our bones are dry and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Why is it that if America falls, the whole world falls? Because most of Israel lives there, the church. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then shall you know, does that sound like the millennial reign, possibly? I'll place you in your own land, and you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, moreover, thou son of man, take thee a stick and write upon it for Judah and for the children of Israel, his companions. Then take another stick and write upon it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for the house of Israel and his companions. And join them one to another into one stick, and they shall become one in thine hand. When the children of thy people shall speak unto thee, saying, wilt thou not show us what thou meanest by these? Saying to them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel, his fellows, and will put them with him, even with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they shall be one in mine hand. And the sticks whereof thou writest shall be in thine hand before thine eyes. And then say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whether they be gone, and will gather them on every side, and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel. And one king shall be king to them all, and they shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all. Jesus is Judah, right? That's where we come in. Neither shall they defile themselves anymore with idols, neither with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions, but I will save them out of all their dwelling places wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them, so they shall be my people, and I will be their God, and David my servant shall be king over them, and they all shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgment, and observe my statutes, and do them, and they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt, and there they shall dwell therein, even they and their children, their children's children forever. And my servant David shall be their prince forever. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them, and I will place them and multiply them, will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. My temple also shall be with them. Yea, I will be their God, and they shall be my people, and the heathen shall know that I, the Lord, do sanctify Israel, when my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forevermore. All right. God's church reestablished. Strong. Now what happens? 38, 39, it's the Gog and Magog war. I'm not going to read it. And we know about that. Revelation chapter 20. And it's going to be one full of power. I will read that part of it, Revelation 20. Right here. When the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about in the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. You can go on and read in Ezekiel. I mean, you can do that as at your leisure. Do your own study. It describes the temple and the restructuring of it. Ezekiel chapter 40 starts. Well, we'll have to go back to that one. Ezekiel 40. We won't read all of it, just part of it. But this is what he starts out doing in Ezekiel. After the Gog and Magog war. And in the 5th and 20th year of our captivity, in the beginning of the year, in the 10th month of the 10th day of the month, in the 14th year, after that the city was smitten in the self, saying, the hand of the Lord was upon me and brought me thither. In the visions God brought he me into the land of Israel and set me upon a very high mountain, by which was it the frame of a city on the south. And he brought me thither, and behold, there was a man whose appearance was like the appearance of brass, with a line of flax in his hand and a measuring reed, and he stood in the gate. And he said unto me, Son of man, behold with thine eyes and hear with thine ears, and set thine heart upon all that I show thee, for to the intent that I might show them unto thee art thou brought hither. Declare that thou seest to the house of God, and behold a wall on the outside of the house round about, in the man's hand a measuring reed of 6 cubits long by the cubic and a hand breadth. So he measured the breadth of the building, 1 reed, and the height, 1 reed. All right, we're not going to read the rest of that, but this is also where I just read to you. This is Revelation chapter 11. Right here. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God. Isn't that what Ezekiel was doing? If you read the whole thing, it was measuring. And this is what the angel's doing here. He's measuring the temple. You've been weighed. You've been measured. You've been found wanting, basically. God's measuring to see if we're in order. Are we plush? Like a plumb line? Are we walking the straight and narrow? I believe it's the temple. The symbology. It's all through the scriptures. This was a dream Ezekiel was having. The dry bones, I think he was seeing the church of today. I don't think he was seeing dead people, dead Israelites raising up. No, he was seeing a church raising up. God calling forth his last, or you could say, it's not the last days. It is the time of his coming and ruling and reigning. Magog and Magog, you could say, would be the last war. All right. Are you confused yet? Ezekiel's being shown a vision about how God is raising up a spiritual house out of these dry bones. Yeah. The church is in divine order, will squelch the insurrection quickly. They will have the power, like Elijah, one of the witnesses, to call fire down from heaven and devour them. Whether we're heading to the thousand-year reign or into the Magog War, we're still sitting in a good position, either way. But from what the Lord's shown me, we're headed into the millennial. So you can pray about it and see what the Lord tells you about it. But anyway, all right.